My name is Alan Morse, and I'm here to talk with you today about a tremendous subject that we need to be talking about, and it deals with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that man has not been able to understand, and the Holy Spirit is totally God. And we'll find out that He's in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that people cannot understand this Holy Spirit. And make sure you get your Bibles open and get you some papers down, papers that you can write on, that you can put these things down, because they're tremendously important. And as we study the Holy Spirit, we find that the natural man, he cannot understand the Holy Spirit. In fact, he can't understand the things of God. And because of that, they find themselves totally lost and never know why. But they just totally don't understand. Let's turn in our scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to start with verses 14. And this will tell you why it's tremendously important, you know, to be able to understand the Word of God. It says, but the natural man, that's the person who is not saved, that's the person who doesn't believe the gospel. There's millions of people out there that don't believe the gospel, and the gospel is the only way that you get the Holy Spirit. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, the second we believe the gospel, we are given the Holy Spirit, which is the mind of Christ, and then we can understand the Word of God. So before we can do anything on this teaching, you have to know the gospel. You have to know it. And so I usually leave this the last, but I'm doing it the first this time, because this is tremendously important. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the most important verse in the Bible for the believer. There's nothing more important than this verse. This just tells you how you can be saved and how you can receive the Holy Spirit. It says, moreover, brethren, you see, he's writing these letters. Paul's writing these letters to the Corinthian church who have already been grounded in the gospel. And he says this, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel. This is the gospel, by which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and by which you stand. They stood on the gospel. And it also says, by which also you are saved. Isn't that what we're looking for? Brethren, if this is what we're looking for, we want to know how we can be saved. And this is going to show you how you are going to be saved, because that's what we're looking for. He says, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this is something that you totally believe. It's not a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge, and you totally believe this for your salvation. He said, for I delivered it unto you first of all, which I also received. Keep your fingers there in this where we're at. Now I'm going to turn over and I'm going to show you what he received. Go to 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. This is the most, just tremendously important. Because, you see, the gospel isn't from man. It says it right here. Make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, or neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel was written, given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay, verse 3 again, back in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again, if you believe that, you're saved. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You need to just get by yourself. Get by yourself where you can talk out loud, and you just tell the Lord, I believe the gospel for my salvation, and you name it. That Christ died for my sins, and that He was buried, and He rose again. I believe that for my salvation, and the Holy Spirit will fall on you just as so fast you can't believe it. But you have to believe it. You can't. It just isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. Now turn and see what happens. Just turn to Ephesians. We go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. I always call this the second most important verse in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. You see, we're trusting in what He told us. We're trusting in Him. He told us what our salvation is. It's the gospel. And then it goes on and says that. For if you have also trusted after Him, you have heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believed the gospel, like I told you, you're saved. And as soon as you're saved, you believe the gospel. He says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, there's no way that you can ever get the Holy Spirit unless you believe the gospel. I was told I had to work for it. I had to confess my sins for it. I had to do, you know, this is something that I had to strive to get. That's a lie. A lie. A lie from the devil himself. We get the gospel the second we believe that we get the Holy Spirit the second we believe the gospel. And we don't get it. It's given to us directly from God. And He is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit when we believe the gospel. It says, Let's see what that gospel is about. Verse 14 said, who is the earnest of our inheritance? This is the Holy Spirit unto the redemption and the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. When the Holy Spirit is our earnest, our down payment for our inheritance from God, and we'll be talking about that person. It's beyond your imagination. You can't even comprehend what God has in store for us. It's just beyond our wildest dreams. Now let's just turn and get a little idea about this Holy Spirit. Let's turn back to Romans, to the left. You're going through 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, then Romans. And we go to Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8, verses 11. Romans chapter 8. Write these things down. This is tremendously important. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What He's saying is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that it is we have now. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is what we are sealed with. When it says sealed, that's exactly what it means. He can't lose it. He never leaves you. He's always with you. You're never by yourself again. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise our mortal bodies from the dead at the resurrection. How fantastic, just fantastic it is that what God, this Holy Spirit, is in our lives. Now we just go on down a few verses and start at 14. We're in Romans chapter 8, verses 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we'll be led from, when we believe the gospel, that Holy Spirit, and He'll lead us the rest of our life. He'll turn us away from any sin that we've had, and He'll work in our lives and point us to Jesus. And we become sons of God. And yet not, for you have not yet received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We don't have to fear about anything, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father. We can actually talk to the Father because we are His children. And the Spirit Himself, verse 16, bear witness with our spirit. You see, our spirit has been regenerated. Now, our spirit is work. Everybody's walking out this earth. They're walking with a dead spirit if they don't believe the gospel. And that's why they can't understand the gospel. They can't understand the words of God. Millions of so-called Christians who do not have the Spirit of God. They do not have it. And if the if we have the Spirit, you see, we're children of God, and if children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. Just turn to Colossians. Colossians, go to the right. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. Who is the image? We're talking about Jesus. Image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him were all things created, and are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principles, or powers. All things were created by Him, and for Him. Think about that. Everything that Christ created, everything, the heavens and the earth and everything on it, and they were created by Him and for Him. And we're co-heirs with Him. Think about that. If the richest man in the world came to you and said, I'll give you $1 billion right here, $1 billion in gold, we'll say, if you would turn away from the gospel. And I'd look at him and I said, look, your $1 billion isn't worth a dirty old penny compared to what God has in store for me. I'm co-heirs with the person who made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it. Co-heirs. That's what our inheritance is. And that inheritance, we've already got the down payment when we believe the gospel. It was sealed in us, and that's a down payment for all these things that God has in store for us. It just totally blows your mind. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 3. Turn back to the right, or left, I mean. We go through Colossians, and we go through Romans, we go through Acts, and then we go through John, Luke, and Mark, and then Matthew. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to see it talk about this Holy Spirit. Matthew 3, 16. Matthew 3. And we're going to look at verses 16. This is when Jesus walked on this earth when He first came to start His ministry. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened up unto Him, and it saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on Him. And lo, a voice from heaven, this is My beloved Son, for whom I am well pleased. Have you ever wondered what the Trinity is? And some people say there's no such thing. We've got Him right here. Jesus, and then the Spirit that we're talking about, came upon Him. And then He heard the voice of the Father. He says, this is My Son, whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit, the makeup of God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But they are all one person. We have God living in us. The power of God in us, living in us because we believe the gospel. Let's look over. That shows in 2 Corinthians. Turn to go back to the right. 2 Corinthians. Go back to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we go Acts. And we get to Acts. And we get to Romans. We get to the Corinthians. Romans and Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13. I think it's the last chapter. Yes, it's the last chapter of Corinthians. And we're going to look at verses 14. Well, 13 and 14. It says, all the saints greet you. It says, 14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There it is again. The Trinity. This is the Father. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. The love of God is the Father and then the Holy Spirit. They're all three together. I know there's churches out here that do not believe in the Trinity. Well, they just don't believe God's Word. They're just of unbelief. But it's just as clear as a fifth grader could understand it. And probably a fourth or a third or a second, even a first grader. But they've been blinded to the gospel. Been blinded to the gospel. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verses 17. This verse here, I want to tell you a little story with this. It was kind of neat. There was a church in, I think it's in Michigan. I think it was Detroit. It could have been Chicago. I don't know. But it was a big church in that area. I mean a big church. There was probably 1,000 people that goes to that church. And the minister walked out to the pulpit when he started, before he started his sermon. He looked down across there and wasn't a bit of noise. They knew he was getting ready to speak. And he asked him, he said, I want everybody here that are Christians to stand. Everybody here that's a Christian, stand. And all 1,000 of them, or 800 to 1,000, they all stood. And then he said, now you may be seated. Then he opened his Bible to this same verse, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means in Christ, that means you believed Christ and that you believe the gospel. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Then he said, now, every one of you that can claim this verse for your life, please stand. And there was one here, and one there, and one over here, and maybe two up here in the front. Only a very small percentage, maybe one half of 1% of the people stood up. Why? Because they were probably the only people there that believed the gospel for their salvation. And they knew it. They knew this power of the Holy Spirit. They knew the power of the Holy Spirit. They knew that in their life. Because, you see, it says, well, they became a new creation. As soon as you believe the gospel, that Holy Spirit comes into you, and that's God living in you, and that is powerful. I don't care if you're a druggie. I don't care if you're an alcoholic. I don't care if whatever you are, a murderer, a thief, a liar, an unbeliever, or whatever you are, when that Holy Spirit comes into your life, He's going to change you. That's why we say that no matter what situation you're in, I don't care how bad you're off, thought you're on, you come to the Lord right now and you believe the gospel. Because the gospel will make all the difference in the world in your life. I've talked to people that are involved in helping these people in these rehab centers for drugs and alcohol. And he says people come through there that are Christians or are supposed to be Christians and tell them they got to believe in Jesus, but nothing happens. But then when another true believer comes in that believes the gospel and points out the gospel that Christ died for their sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, and when you truly believe that, you'll be saved. And then the power of God will come into you. And I mean to tell you, it's made changes like you cannot believe. These people who were drug addicts at the worst, they were able to walk away from it because they had the power of God into them. And they can actually see that they were a total new creation. And the old things of their life have passed away. And all things have become new. All things have become new. How wonderful. How wonderful. And this is my prayer for each and every one of you, that all these things would become new to you, and that you would truly have the Holy Spirit in you, because the Holy Spirit is everything. You see, even the average pastor doesn't have any idea what the power of the Holy Spirit is. They don't believe. They believe in Jesus as their Savior for their salvation. But you see, my friend, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, yes, if you were a Jew and you believed in Jesus, you were saved. But you see, we're not Jews. And we never can be Jews. And that's why God brought Paul into the picture, to bring out a church all separate, totally separated from Judaism. Believing in Jesus is Judaism. But believing the gospel is for this new church that we belong to, the body of Christ. And then we're going to tell you about the body of Christ. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to see, show you what the real church is today. This is for the church today, for you and me. And this is for the world. There's only salvation in the gospel for the whole world, Jew included, today. No one can be saved unless they believe the gospel for their salvation. It says, we'll start with verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Greeks, or be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." This is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of all members, all people. They're from all races, everybody. In this world, when you believe the gospel, you are a member of the body of Christ. And that's the only way you can be a member. And as soon as you believe, it's just like you receive the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit also baptizes you into the body of Christ. And there's no one in the body of Christ that doesn't believe the gospel. You see, God won't put any, because that's the people who's going to walk with God, really walk with God in eternity. And only the true believer will be there. There will be no unbelievers in heaven. And heaven will be made up of people who believe the gospel. And that's the church that I belong to. People said, "What church do you go to, Al?" I said, "I belong to the body of Christ." Finding a church that teaches that is something else. It really is. It really is. It's hard to find churches that teach the gospel for salvation. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to go back to the right. Galatians. Right back just to the right, just the way. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22. This is the person who believed the gospel. This is talking about a person that has been filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," this is the Holy Spirit that's in you. This is what you will be when you believe the gospel, when the Holy God lives in your life. This fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. And it's true. The love I have for people now is 100 times more than it ever was before. I have more concern for people's life and for their wants and their needs and their cares and their salvation than I ever did before. Joy. I have the joy and the happiness of knowing that I am saved, and that I'm just every day is just wonderful to be able to study His Word and teach His Word. And peace. I have a peace that no man ever had. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, if I died tomorrow, I don't fear death whatsoever, because I know that the Holy Spirit that's in me is the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. It will raise me also. And I also know that my spirit and my soul are going to go directly to be with the Lord when I die. We have long suffering. That means that we never give up. We never give up on our fellow man. We love them. We care for them. And any way we possibly can, we'll show them the gospel. Gentleness. Gentleness. Men, I mean, that's tremendous to be gentle, be caring, goodness, and we're full of faith. We know what we know because we know it's the truth, because our gospel come directly from Jesus Christ. We are meek. We have self-control. And against all these things, there is no law. You see, we're totally filled with God's Holy Spirit, and He guides us. He never leaves us, no matter what situation we're in. He never leaves us, and He'll never forsake us. How wonderful that is. And folks, what we have is beyond our imagination. And what you'll have when you believe the gospel for your salvation, you have God living in you. And He will make all the difference in the world in your life. And you'll never have such peace. You'll never have such happiness. Oh, sure, you're going to go through problems. But we've got God in us. There's no problem that we can't handle when God is in us. And so it's just wonderful. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that You would open the minds of each and every person that I speak to today, that they would understand the importance of believing the gospel for their salvation, and that You would seal them with their Holy Spirit and give them a life that they can't even comprehend, just like You did to me. I just pray that You would just watch over us all and bless us all and draw us all closer to You each day through Your Holy Spirit. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.